Welcome back to Tyler Aki and Shane Orley. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Tyler Aki, Shane Orley with you here on ESPN 1000 until 11 o'clock. And then it is Peggy and Dion. Jeff Meller filling in for Peggy today. You want to join us? 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Super Bowl tomorrow. It's bittersweet. Although you have some like weird thing that you've pre-grieved.
I'm good. Yeah.
Do you do this with like looming deaths too? Do you pre-grieve looming deaths?
No, that's different because there's like you're never going to see that person again. I did a podcast with our director of marketing, Maggie Sketch, again this week, and I made the comparison to her that this is like if your family member died, but you knew that they were coming back in 7 months. So you just get ready ahead of time for the death, and then 7 months later you get to see them again. And you don't have to grieve in between at all. It's all good.
I got to say, though, like the football offseason, like this, the part that killed me about the double doink from 2018 wasn't the fact that the Bears lost. The toughest part about it is you were right there, and now you got to wait the entire offseason knowing you were right there. That's the hardest part of football. Like for Eagles fans, you were right there. You were leading the Super Bowl at halftime, and then you got Mahomes in the second half, and you were right there. You thought you were going to hoist the trophy. And then you had to wait the entire offseason only to be let down this year.
My point on like the Super Bowl in the offseason is not that like I think football ends with the championship games. The Super Bowl is not really football.
It's an event.
The Super Bowl is its own thing. It's out there in the ether. It exists separate from the actual NFL. The NFL and football ends with the conference championships. That's when I go, okay, we're done. I'm grieving. It'll be back. And then you get the Super Bowl, and it's a little bonus. It's a little treat. And then you have the 7 months. But the other thing about the NFL offseason, I always forget. It hits me like a brick how effing long this thing is.
Yeah.
My God.
And then you got to watch, like, stupid fake football for a little bit. Like, you watch these, like, you're going to see.
Are you going to watch the UFL?
No. I'm saying, like, you have to watch the Underwear Olympics, the Combine. And then you have to watch. I like the draft. The draft is like legitimate. Like that's fun and that's cool. Free agency is awesome too. I like that stuff. But then you get to like rookie mini camp and
OTAs,
and then training camp. And then there's the guys that are training together in the off season. And I have to. They brought a photographer along who's shooting all their video. Like that stuff's garbage.
It's a lot of getting teased. The good thing is the NFL's mastered making it a 12-month calendar.
Yes, they have.
So you don't really miss football because you move right into free agency. You move right into the NFL draft, and then
but you're waiting in some BS for half of it too. Like the off season, it's like ugh.
There's so much conversation
and
around
then you get
it.
The preseason.
There's so much anticipation. Once the draft ends, that's when you really miss football. The good news is you have baseball back.
True.
For me, it's always like June 15th to July 1 is when I start getting a little rabid. I start frothing at the mouth.
I get
the Phil Steele college football book in the mail,
right?
And things get a little
get
intense.
Amped up. Yeah. I will say though, it is fun when there's intrigue at quarterback for training camp. Like, maybe it's a training camp battle. Usually those aren't as fun for quarterback. But when you have, like, something fresh or something new at quarterback and you kind of see how everything, like, in all likelihood, it's what the Bears are going to have this year. Latest report from Ian Rappaport is that it would take a historic haul for the Bears to move off of the number one overall pick. And I just look at it as, okay, if Caleb Williams is in training camp, like that's something fresh, something exciting, something to look forward to. Same way I felt about this past training camp. Even though Justin Fields wasn't fresh or new or exciting, it was like, all right, this is the launch point. Like he's gotta be something this year, or otherwise there's gonna be a move on.
And yeah, the addition of DJ Moore.
And that you were working with a little bit of momentum to close out the season from a talent and playmaking standpoint as well. Like there was something there.
Yeah, Can you imagine what training camp's going to be like with Caleb?
Oh, boy.
You talk about sold out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even if it's Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, you bring in a rookie quarterback with the number one overall pick. That's how you get, especially when you were a 7-win team and not a 3-win team from the season prior as well. Let's get into the Super Bowl here. We've got the Chiefs and the Niners, the matchup that is a rematch of the 2020 Super Bowl. And the difference, though, is that there's a new quarterback on the other side for the Niners, but a lot has stayed the same for the Kansas City Chiefs when you look at who it is. Like, it's Kelce, it's Mahomes, it's Andy Reid. Sure, there's no Tyreek Hill. Sure, the defense has shuffled up a little bit, but the defense is as good as it's ever been under a Patrick Mahomes-led team. And it's got me thinking throughout the week, because everything that I hear when people are making their Super Bowl picks, right? I don't feel like anybody is truly picking the Super Bowl. Everyone is just chickening out of picking against Mahomes.
Yep.
And I feel like, what percent in your eyes of people that you've seen pick the Chiefs, what percent is I'm picking the Chiefs, and what percent is I'm not picking against Mahomes?
Probably 30% are picking the Chiefs and 70% are just not picking against Mahomes.
I'm that 70%.
I am too, dude.
Yeah, like, I think I am too.
Like, if you really start breaking this game down, it's hard to find football reasons. It's hard to find
gambling reasons.
It's hard to find any reason to pick against the 49ers.
I said this last night. I'm so happy I took the Chiefs when the line first came out, because I would be back and forth all week because I don't want the Chiefs to win, dude, but I keep losing money against Mahomes. Like, I'm sick of it.
Here's where I'm at, though. I've made money on Mahomes all postseason long. Bet on them against the Dolphins. Bet on them against the Ravens. Bet they play a third game. Bet on them against the Bills.
Bills.
Like, I've made money on him all postseason long, and it's like, is it time to go the other way?
You get off the train now?
I have my Chiefs bet in. But I'm thinking about flipping to the other side.
Oh, jeez.
It's just gotten to the point where it's like people are just too scared to pick against Mahomes. And it's like, all right, well, there have been times where picking against Mahomes has gone well. Now, you could say, oh, like, you just weren't picking against Brady in that one. Yeah, but like, there were offensive line injuries in that game. One of the most significant injuries in this game? It's an offensive line injury for the Chiefs. If there's interior pressure from this Niners defense here and Mahomes is scrambling around, like, are we sure that Marquez Valdes-Scantling can continue this fever dream that he's on right now?
No.
Making clutch catch after clutch catch. Are we sure?
One thing I do kind of think, though, is the Chiefs can run on the Niners.
And I think it works the other way, too.
It does, absolutely.
Like, the Niners can run on the Chiefs.
And I think the Niners will do what the Ravens didn't and just run the football.
Mm-hmm.
But
with a much better running back, too. The best in the game.
The best running back in the game. But Pacheco's awesome. I think this is a
game where Pacheco could
go crazy. Both defenses are good. I also made this comparison. Tell me if I'm nuts here. I remember a Super Bowl that was almost exactly like this in terms of the two teams on the field and the narrative surrounding them and the way it shapes up.
Let me try to guess. Recently?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl?
No. I'm just going to tell you because it's an audio medium. Patriots-Rams. 2019.
Okay.
You had the Rams and this up-and-coming all-star team. Granted, Jared Goff's the number one pick. Brock mm-hmm. Birdie's Mr. Irrelevant. I get it. But it was a quarterback that is the weakness of the team. Defense, great. Offense, the skill players, incredible. The offensive line, incredible. And Jared Goff was the question mark. Against what people called the most vulnerable version of the Patriots they'd ever seen, with an offense that was atrocious. Gronk had seemingly aged out of football.
Yeah.
Edelman was at a point where he was their number one receiver, and at no point
well
in his career. Of course. But at no point in his career was Edelman a number one wide receiver. He was theirs that year.
Yeah.
They had no one else. Sony Michel in the backfield, but an awesome defense. One of the best defensive versions of the Patriots. And I get a little nervous when I think about that, because then I go, as good and as juicy as this matchup feels like all week, are we going to get another 13-3 boar fest where the great quarterback just bombs them?
And just plays game manager.
Yeah.
essentially.
That's what he did against the Ravens.
Well, that's what he did against the Ravens. It's kind of what he did against Miami, albeit in ridiculous conditions. But like, that's kind of what he's done at times throughout the season. And we use the word game manager like it's a slur. No, it's not. Like, there is an art to being a game manager.
Absolutely.
And both of these guys in this, like, Patrick Mahomes is this all-worldly talent, but he knows how to play game manager when he has to, and he did that for a lot of the regular season this year.
And after the AFC title, I remember hearing a lot of people like, why is Patrick Mahomes getting so much praise? He didn't do anything in that game. They didn't score in the second half. It wasn't a great performance. It was an incredible performance against a defense that had been trending towards historic in Baltimore. He did what he had to do. He got them out to a 17-point lead. Like, the 17 points, they were always up in that game. 17-7, never felt in danger. And all they had to do was hold the ball and not make mistakes. And Mahomes did exactly that.
Once they threw the second haymaker, once the Chiefs went up, what was it, 14-7, I believe? Once they went up 14-7, Baltimore never had a chance. If they didn't score on that very next drive, they were never winning that football game.
And the Chiefs just said, we'll run the football on you. We're going to go West Coast, a lot of screens. Everything's going to be lateral. We're not taking any deep shots. Didn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Played within that structure and won the game.
And made the one big play when you needed it. And it was that play to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And like, sometimes, that's the thing, is sometimes successful drives don't end in points. And that's exactly what we saw out of that Chiefs team at the end of that game against Baltimore.
So I look back at that Patriots-Rams game, and I can't help but get the same vibe on this one.
That is interesting.
Which does lead me in the way I'm looking at it, because Brock Purdy can't possibly be ready for this. This is not like I'm trying to be disrespectful to Brock Purdy.
I get what you're saying.
He's met the moment at every opportunity.
I will say, it does take a different type of cojones to lead multiple comebacks.
Oh, yeah.
In do or die games, and like, to do it against the Packers, to do it against the Lions, who were working with all this momentum. I think there's something like, sure, the Super Bowl's a different beast, but I don't think that he'll be wholly unprepared for this. I think there is some sort of dog in him.
My argument, I'm not taking away from Brock Purdy. I'm not. He's a good player. He's a fine player. He's not a great player. He's not one of the five most important players on the Niners. I'm not sure he's one of the 10 most important players on the Niners. He's good. That's it.
I think he's one of the 10, for sure.
Here's my thing with, like, Brock Purdy led these comebacks. How come the quarterback gets all the credit for this? Against the Packers, it was a massive run for a touchdown by Christian McCaffrey that really started to swing things the Niners' way. And then, yes, a wonderful 12-play drive at the end of the game to seal it. Against the Lions, it was a butterfly landing on Brandon Ayuk. Like, what? How are we giving credit to Purdy? The ball he threw was horrendous.
Should have been picked.
Bounces off the face mask of former Bear Kendall Vildor. Mm-hmm. And into Brandon Ayuk's hands by the grace of God. Then we're like, oh, Brock Purdy led the comeback. No, actually, incredibly lucky play. Jahmyr Gibbs, with the spatial awareness of a brick, fumbles the football immediately on the next possession. Brock Purdy short field. Guess who scored? McCaffrey. And like, why are we, everybody's like, Brock Purdy led these incredible comebacks. No, dude, the Niners have an incredible offense that executed at a high level against, let me see, Joe Barry and the Lions, who were awful defensively. You're not getting that in the Super Bowl.
Here's what happens, though, with a lot of these young quarterbacks and a lot of guys who aren't quote-unquote built and ready for this moment. They absolutely break in these situations. They'll fold. And like, we see certain times, especially for a guy like Brock Purdy, who has not played in a lot of big games. Brock Purdy played in a couple playoff games last year, but it's not like he played in a big game in college. Like, the biggest games he was playing in were rivalry games, and those don't have the same gravitas as the NFC championship game and a trip to the Super Bowl on the line there. I think you see a lot of these guys break in some of those moments, and I think part of what has made Brock Purdy what he is the fact that, like, he just is always calm, cool, collected. Like, it doesn't look like things faze him. Even when things are going tremendously wrong, like, they went tremendously wrong against Baltimore on that was Christmas Day,
yeah,
I believe,
four
right?
interception night,
right.
Yeah.
But he bounces back the rest of the season. Like, that could have been the breaking point for Brock Purdy, and we start asking questions about, like, what is Brock Purdy really as an NFL quarterback? But listen, I'm not saying he's one of the five best, but he's one of the 10 best, right, at this point?
On their team?
One of the 10 best quarterbacks in football.
Get that!
Stop. Stop. Just because he beat your Lions, get back in here. I do have a story off of this,
he
by the way.
He's gone.
Potsy, I do have a story off this. I have an Am I the A-hole about this from last week. Or from 2 weeks ago. You know about it, too.
Uh-huh.
We'll discuss that when we come back. Tyler Rocky, Shay Norling here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Y'all cooled down over there? You good? Take a couple deep breaths.
Had to go to the bathroom.
Bathroom yoga. Yeah,
had to take a little break. Top 10 quarterback Purdy, my ass.
Yeah.
Right now.
You want to do this right now?
Yep.
All right. Who's better? Lamar better.
Yep.
Allen better. Mahomes better.
Hold on. I'm
just looking at the standings right now, and I'm going down. So I've got three.
Rodgers.
I didn't think about Rodgers.
That's four.
Okay, but four. Stroud better.
Yep.
Stafford better.
Lawrence. Yes.
Purdy's had a more productive career.
It's hard to put T. Law.
What are we doing?
Purdy's had a more productive career than Trevor Lawrence.
He's played like half the games.
And he's had a more productive, like, look at where Purdy has ranked in the NFL during his time among quarterbacks, and look at where Trevor Lawrence has. Purdy's been significantly better. Jordan Love is better. Joe Burrow is better. Keep going. Justin Herbert is better. So that would put him at 10. That's the ones I'm giving you. Who would you like to fight?
You did Love? Did you do Dak?
I did not do Dak. Come on. Dak is Kirk Cousins with a star on his helmet.
Cousins is also better than Brock Purdy.
He is not better than Brock Purdy.
What are we doing here?
He is not better than Brock Purdy.
What about Tua?
Nope.
Did you say Jalen Hurts?
I don't believe Jalen Hurts is better than Brock.
Jalen Hurts is better than Brock.
Jalen really, I got a bad taste in my mouth from Jalen Hurts. Stafford's better.
I said Stafford.
I'm trying to name more.
I have him at 10, squarely at 10.
Baker Mayfield's better.
No, he's not.
Jared Goff is better.
No, he is not.
Jared Goff's absolutely better.
Jared Goff is not better.
He's better. Of course he is.
Brock Purdy has had phenomenal seasons the past 2 years after being the last pick in the draft to pick up the game as quickly as he has. He is better than a lot of these guys.
He's not better than a lot of these guys. He's not better.
Is he in a fantastic system? Sure.
Better than Trevor Lawrence is crazy to me.
He's had a more productive career than Trevor Lawrence has.
Little crazy.
Does Trevor Lawrence have more of the physical tools and capability? Sure.
I know we
can go out on the field and do it.
The hypothetical deal, put Trevor Lawrence on the Niners, man. Like, this just...
Brock Purdy has played the position as well as you could have asked him to. 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, led the league in QBR, threw for 4,200 yards this year, has his team in the Super Bowl. I get that there's a fantastic team around him. I get that. But so do a lot of these guys who are kind of teetering in the middle.
Not like this.
Oh, yes,
not
they do.
Not like this.
Uh-huh.
No, come on. He's got one of the best. He's got the best left tackle. He's got two of the top, 12 wide receivers. He's got the best tight end.
He's got the best running back.
He's got the best play caller.
He's got a pretty shaky offensive line outside of Trent Williams. And that stuff's important for the people who always say, like, beef up the line. I mean, he's gone out and done it.
The best fullback, who's not really even a fullback.
I mean, if you're going to use that as part of your argument, you're like, well, you what are you doing?
Kyle Juszczyk's a good player.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Yeah, absolutely.
The other guys, they don't have, like, Trevor Lawrence doesn't have help like this.
No.
Not like this.
No.
Jared Goff's got a good roster. It's not like this.
Jared Goff has one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in football.
Yeah, of course. But he's got Amon-Ra, he's got Laporta. It's not McCaffrey. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy are very similar. They will do what's asked of them in the correct situation.
But one was drafted number one overall and was already moved on from. The other was drafted as the last pick in the draft a couple years ago, has appeared in two NFC championships, and has put together like significant draw and has like done this. And like the way that Brock Purdy.
But again, why does he get all the credit for it?
He doesn't get all the credit.
It was a McCaffrey 40-yard touchdown run. It was Brandon Ayuk. The miracle at Jordan Hare.
Those aren't the only...
It was Gibbs fumbling a spatial awareness of a rock.
Here's the other thing about that Ayuk thing. If he doesn't catch the ball, they're keeping the flag.
Probably, but yeah. I have to live in the world where they picked it up.
By the way, I have.
I hate that. That officials will change their flag
so
decision
but you know
on the results of the play.
You know it's true.
Yeah, was there a penalty or not? Pick up the flag. It was everybody watching at home knew it wasn't a penalty.
I have my question for you. Am I the a-hole?
Oh, right. Here we go.
We were at your house for the NFC title game and AFC title game, but my question stems from the NFC title game. Big line contingency. Everyone rooting for Detroit, right? And at a certain point, I could tell the Lions were no longer winning that football game. Am I the a-hole for live betting the Niners and not telling anyone?
You did
and
what?
Sitting in the shadows.
I knew about this.
I live bet the Niners.
I
live bet the Niners before the Jahmyr Gibbs fumble.
What did you say, Aki? You were like, would I be an a-hole if I just submitted this right now and Shay gets the noty?
That's right.
On Action.
I was going to log it on Action Network.
Honestly, no. Good for you. Like,
but are you a bad guy for, like, everyone, like, and it's Detroit. Like, it's different than, like, oh, I'm going to a party and I'm rooting for the Niners and everyone else is rooting for the Chiefs. It's different when it's Detroit, right? Everything Detroit had been through. They haven't won a lot of big playoff games in their history. They'd never been to a Super Bowl. Like, all that. Am I a bad guy for submitting that and not telling anyone?
Yeah, I think you should have told people. I think it would have been okay. I bet the Niners. And then my wife would have given you hell, and we would have had a good time.
You would have given me hell.
And well, no, because I would have done it, too, if I didn't have a bet on the Lions.
But like, I had 7.5 on the Lions, too, and I found that happy middle.
But I also had a money line Lions wager, and I didn't want to blow that up. But I remember feeling, like, when Brandon Ayuk caught that ball, I remember being like, they're going to lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Gibbs fumble immediately after was, they're going to lose this game.
I got it in right before the Gibbs fumble, and I see that ball hit the turf, and I'm like, oh, this is over. Like, this is beyond over at this point.
Historically bad third quarter.
Yeah.
You are kind of... I feel like you should have told people. I feel like you're an a-hole because you were sitting there like, I'm doing something scummy, and you decided not to say
anything.
I'm
the meme, the guy in the corner at the party. People don't know. I just laid the Niners live.
You made a good call. You won money. Good for you. You hit the middle. Congrats. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But you're gambling. I have to tell.
Well, I would prefer that. I think the fact that you sat in the dark and then you waited 2 weeks to bring it up is a little scummy. That's like you sat there and you were like, I could be a huge D-bag and now it's going to become content. That's the scummy part of this.
That's the thing. Potsy and I Ubered home after, and we get out outside of your place, and I go, we're using this next week, but I live bet the Niners during that game. And we were in the car. I was like, do I log the Action Network play and see Shay explode?
It was free.
Potsy sat on this.
I completely forgot about this. Yeah. I for some reason thought this was already brought up or something. Like this was a while ago.
I know you want a more explosive reaction out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I respect.
This feels like you're just tipping your hat.
It's too late. It's 2 weeks. It's past that.
I wanted to do it last week. But we didn't have time for it.
If it happened in the moment too, like while we were at Shay's.
Yeah, even in the moment, I don't think I would have been that angry.
No, you would have. You would have.
I would have. No, yeah. It's gambling. It's a different
thing. Would have.
Well, yeah, but she's not a gambler.
You would have been angry that you wouldn't have been able to take it because you had the Lions probably, and you're like, damn, that's a smart bet. Damn, 49ers are winning.
Would you have tailed if I said something?
Yeah, probably.
I would have tailed.
You think so?
I would have tailed.
If I didn't have the Lions money line bet, I 100% would have live bet them after the Ayuk catch. 100%.
All right. Well, now I know. Now we have a precedent set.
The gambling stuff doesn't bother me. Like, you're not a jag because you bet against somebody.
I think certain situations you are.
Honestly, you might be a good guy because you didn't rub it in everyone's face. That you might actually be a good guy for
Look at you spinning this because in my favor.
No, the worst guy in the world is the guy who bets against your team and the entire game keeps telling you about how his bet is against your team.
See,
that guy, get out. I don't need you here.
That's where I felt bad. What was it? Two Super Bowls? It was the Bengals-Rams Super Bowl. That's where I felt bad because my roommate at the time, huge Bengals fan. Huge Bengals fan. I had a future on the the Rams all season long. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, I hate, especially because the Bengals were a good, fun story. Joe Burrow, yeah. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, like they're a lot of fun, right? And it's just like I felt bad, like rooting against the Bengals and rooting against my roommate. But there's dollars on the line here. And it was like a nice payout if the Rams would have won. So, and they did.
But as long as you're not sitting there, like, you can't be openly rooting against the guy who's the fan of the team.
He played it perfectly. He was silent about it.
I'm not rooting against the Celtics. I'm not rooting against the Patriots.
Right.
I'm rooting against the Lions, who don't get to this situation.
No.
I'm rooting against.
That's, again, why I don't care. Like, my wife would have been mad, but I don't. Doesn't bother me. I'm not. Who cares?
Okay.
My point is, you can't be the guy that spends the. You played it well because you didn't bring it up. If you're the guy who's like, I like bet the Niners, and then you're getting really like over excited about all the Niners scores, then you're being kind of a bag. If you're gonna Lions home, which it is because it was my wife's home too.
And your home. You're a Lions fan.
We got to do some picks, good. Man. We got to get to the
we
picks.
We have a lot of picks. We have a lot of picks. We've got a full college basketball slate, and Potsy has given us a little prop sheet as well. So we'll do all that when we come back. Tyler Rocky, Shay Norling, talking football with you on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Caught you by surprise too. I was making sure it wasn't. I thought it was just me.
No, that was loud. That came in hot.
So loud.
All right, we
all
got
right, Tom Petty. Take it easy.
We got a lot of picks to get to today. We've got some college basketball. We've got some props, and then of course we'll also whip together a little parlay here as well. Let's start with some college basketball picks. Potsy, what do we have on the board today?
Oh, college basketball. A lot of plays. Let's get it going, guys.
Need the music.
There we go.
Needed the music. Let me pull up the board. We have a lot of picks. We can start with Wisconsin, guys. Wisconsin, this could be a trap game. They're -3.5 on the road at Rutgers. That's the first game of the day.
Going to the rack.
I think the Big Ten is the only conference where the ranked against unranked
doesn't apply.
Yeah, it just hasn't been. I've lost so much money on Ohio State in this spot in Columbus.
Too. Yeah,
I'm taking the Badgers. I'm laying the 3.5 with the Badgers.
Yeah, I like this Wisconsin team a lot. Like, bringing in AJ Storr was huge for them. I'll go Wisconsin.
I'm not the biggest fan of Wisconsin, but they've lost 3 straight, so I'm with you, Shay. I'm taking the points here. We got number 19, Creighton. They're -1.5 on the road versus Xavier.
Xavier. Musketeers? Musketeers. The three Musketeers.
Yeah.
I'm going with Xavier at home. I think Xavier gets it done. I like Creighton a lot, and Creighton's been a bitch to go against in spots like this, but I'm going Xavier.
I'm going Creighton. The size is there, and just the experience at guard, I think, especially on the road, I like that, and especially in a narrow game like that, 1.5. Usually, I think these are traps. I don't think this is one of them, though.
I'm with you. I have Creighton as well. We got number 10, Illinois, +3.5 at Michigan State. What are we doing, Shay? What are we doing?
Heaven help me. I don't want to do it. My team is ass. They are the juice at the bottom of your shorts on a hot day. But they're covering laying the 3.5 at home today. It's an auto bet. It looks funny as hell. Doesn't look right. We're ass. Why are we favored? I'm leaning into it. Go Sparty.
3.5's a lot on these, but I'll still take it with you. I'm going to go Michigan State.
We call these theory plays. I'm with you as well. Spartans here. They cover. All right, we got TCU. They're plus 7.5 at Iowa State.
I'm done with TCU. Done.
They started so hot, man. I don't know what's going on.
Iowa State. It's a lot of points, but give them to me.
Where's this game being played in Potsy?
Iowa State's home.
Hilton?
Yeah.
Yeah, Iowa State.
Hilton Magic.
Go Cyclones.
Yeah, I got Cyclones as well. All right, we got number 12, Auburn. They're minus 1.5 at Florida.
Personally, I wouldn't do anything with this game. Personally,
yeah,
I bet
wouldn't do anything with this game.
I bet Florida with real money.
I'd probably lean Florida. Florida had a nice game against A&M, even though they lost last week. They played A&M tough, and I think A&M's really good. I'll go with Florida.
I'm staying away, guy. I mean, if I had to choose, I would go Auburn just because they are the better team, in my opinion. But I love both these teams so much. It's going to be a close one. All right, we got number 3, UNC. They're minus 3.5 at Miami, a very struggling Miami team.
It's another line that just doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, do I have a sour taste after that UNC
Clemson game
earlier this week.
That was tough.
They just didn't rebound well. Now they got to go back out on the road. I hate it. I'm going to take the Hurricanes.
I'm taking the Canes, too. I will say this, though. I was telling you a little bit earlier. There's two teams right now in college basketball where if I fade them and I'm wrong, I feel like the biggest idiot in the world.
Yep.
North Carolina's one of them, and Houston's the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll just body bag somebody.
Yeah. Like, North Carolina could go into the Watsco Center and win this thing by 35.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily.
But mm-hmm. What am I doing? I may flip to North Carolina. I just remembered Miami, Virginia. What a horrible game.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that's an outlier game. Different pay. Like, North Carolina's going to speed you up.
I hate both these teams right now. I'm going Canes.
I'm Miami.
I'll go Miami here. I mean, I don't like it at all, but it's a weird line, man. It's weird. So I'll go the U. All right, we got number 5, Houston. They're minus 5.5 favorites at Cincinnati. Cincinnati has done pretty well at home. Yeah, they've been sneaky good at home.
But it's the same thing. Yep. Same thing I was just saying.
Yeah.
I have a hard time fading Houston this year. I think we did them last week, and they just bombed Kansas State. I think that was the game that we picked.
Yeah.
Bomb Kansas State on like a 17-point line or 12-point line.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cougars. They're incredible, man.
I'm taking Houston, too.
I'll go the other side. I'll take Cincy on this, but I'm prepared to feel like an idiot on both of those.
Interesting, interesting. All right, how about this? We got Gonzaga plus 5.5 at Kentucky. A little cross-conference duel.
This is my biggest play of the day.
Oh, yeah?
Whoa.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gonzaga is terrible.
Hockey's been off
this
the Zags all year.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there something weird about this line, though? Because I was going to say, Gonzaga's ass.
Is it neutral?
I think it's
Why are they
only getting 5.5?
Well, let me double check. I'm pretty sure it's at Kentucky. But
they're ass.
They're like,
and Kentucky's been playing like they might be one of the best teams in the country again. Like, what? How is this only 5.5? Gonzaga sucks.
I think it's the names. It's just the brand.
I do think name probably has something to do with it. Like, Gonzaga may not make the tournament. They may have to win the WCC, and they're not doing that.
Yeah, Rupp Arena.
Is that Rupp? Oh, this is... Rob Dillingham might not be playing today.
Whatever, I'm taking the Cats.
I'm still taking the Cats.
All right, I'll take the Cats as well. We got number 13, Baylor, plus 7.5. At Rock Chalk, baby. Game day today. What are we doing here, fellas?
This might actually be my biggest play of the day, and I haven't added it to the card, but I'm going to. Rock Chalk.
Yeah.
They are just a freight train in that building.
They're a wagon at home.
Oh, my God. Last week against Houston, like, Houston's one of those teams, like, you really see Houston run it up, and now you get Kansas on a longer week. Remember, they played Big Monday?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A long week out off of that loss against K-State.
I can promise you that loss has stuck with them, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you.
Oh, yeah. I think Kansas, and I think Kansas by like 15 today.
I got Kansas as well by big numbers here. All right, Arizona plus 1.5 at Colorado. What are we doing?
Easy play, Colorado. Yep.
Go Buffs.
Jeez.
Zona stinks on the road.
Oh, no.
Go Buffs.
Zona... playing a triple overtime game at Utah, and then you're going to Boulder.
Yep.
Arizona has...
lungs are getting a workout.
They have been the most frustrating team this season. Just the watch, the bet on. I'm taking the Buffs, too, man. The line tells the story here.
It's a really good point. The fact that they were at altitude, 3 OT, and then they go to Boulder.
And they played that game on Thursday.
That's just a tough draw, man. Like, they got one day off.
And you get a travel day in between.
This one, the 9 o'clock special on ESPN, if you'd like to watch the Buffs bomb Arizona.
I think this could be a Colorado by, like, 8 to 10.
That's all we got on the college basketball slate today, guys.
All right. What do we have? I think we got to go speed props here.
Yeah.
Speed props.
Lightning round.
Let's go. No explanations, just triggers.
Do we have a little, there we go. There we go, a little college football.
Just something different, spice it up a little bit. Even though we do this every week.
Let's hear it, Potsy, with our college football music.
We've got 23 of these, Potsy. Lightning round, go.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll start with the length of the national anthem, over under 87 and a half.
I will tell you this line that you've pulled off the sheet here is like...
perplexing.
Based on the information that I may or may not have received, over.
Yeah, you've given me that information as well. I'll go with over.
All right, how about the coin toss? Heads or tails?
Heads.
I'm heads, too.
I'm going tails, guys. First offensive play, will it be a run or a pass?
Run.
I think it'll be a pass.
I'm going run, too. I think it's going to be a run. Will there be a score in the first 7 minutes of the game?
Yes, both teams really good on opening drives.
I think, I think it'll be the Chiefs, too.
All right, but how about the first team to score?
Oh, there's your answer, Chiefs.
All right, there we go. Jersey number touchdown scorer, odd or even?
Odd. Purdy with those legs, maybe Mahomes.
Kelsey.
McCaffrey's even, isn't he? I thought he's 22 for some reason. He's feeling 22.
I'll go odd. That's like a pretty easy one.
I think odd too. Dude,
Rashee Rice is probably the only way you lose this, right?
Odd's got to be favored. No, isn't Rice 11?
No, he's 4.
Oh, 4. Yeah.
Yeah, odd. That's an easy one, actually.
All right. How about first accepted penalty? Who's it going to be against?
Chiefs, Juwan Taylor.
I'll join you on that.
Most penalized player in football.
Yeah, play the odds.
All right, how about a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half?
Yes.
All right, that was quick. Will a team score 3 consecutive times?
No.
I actually love that bet every single year.
Yeah, I like that too. Brock Purdy passing yards, over under 248.
Under.
All right, Patrick Mahomes passing yards.
Yards synced up.
Over under 260. That's low, dude.
Under.
Under.
Really? Yeah. Okay, interesting.
A lot of running.
Total receiving yards for George Kittle, 48.
Over.
I'm going to go under.
How about Travis Kelce, 70 and a half?
Under.
Yeah, that's a big number.
You can't start the number with a 7. Under.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Length of the longest successful field goal, 46 and a half. I love these ones. I love the kicking props.
Under. Kyle Shanahan wants his kicker dead, and the Chiefs just probably won't. I think they won't be kicking a lot of field goals. They'll go for it on 4th and short.
Who kicked? You could get an end of half type of deal. I'll go over 46 and a half.
I feel that too. How about who kicks the longest field goal? Which team?
Chiefs,
right?
Jake Moody successful. Sucks.
Yeah. Moody's awful. Length of the longest touchdown, over under 44 and a half yards.
Under.
Team with the longest touchdown.
Niners. Debo.
Yeah, Niners.
Debo. Total quarterback sacks, 4.5.
Under.
Over.
Interesting.
Spag's going to heat that boy up.
Love under. This one. Total turnovers, 2.5.
Over.
I have over, too.
Under.
All right. Number of challenges, 1.5.
Under. Shanahan's a coward.
All right. I'll go under as well. Will there be a missed extra point? Hashtag Jake Moody.
Sure. Why not?
And it can be a two-pointer as well.
Yep.
I'll go yeah.
Or two-pointer. Yeah. I'll go yes as well.
Ooh, remind me. I'm betting the octopus this year.
You got to tell the people what that is.
Yeah, the octopus.
Are you going to bet the Broctopus? Because that's an option,
is that a
too.
Thing?
Yeah. Will there be a Broctopus?
No, I won't bet that, but I'll bet the octopus, which is when a player scores the touchdown and then also scores the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
So they account for all 8 points.
I like that. All right, how about these last two? Color of the Gatorade.
What are the options, Pons?
Well, come on. I mean, like clear, orange. Well, clear is water. Orange, red. yellow, green, or green lime, or whatever. I think that's all one thing. Actually.
I'm going any other color based on.
Can I
nothing
say,
really?
Can I? I'll give out a tip. I got a call yesterday while I was producing for Waddle and Sylvie that someone that works at Pepsi and is in charge of the can like see what Gatorades go to the stadium, yes, hotel, like, and practices said that the biggest order at the stadium
is orange.
Was for red and yellow.
Interesting.
All right.
Interesting. So take that for what it is.
All right. And the last one, guys. Will the MVP of the Super Bowl be a quarterback or just any other position?
Any other position. Pacheco.
Quarterback. You laid a Pacheco bet last night.
I did. And I believe Pacheco will be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
There you go, guys. Those are the props.
Those are the props, and those are the college basketball picks as well. We'll whip up a same-game parlay when we come back for the Super Bowl. We're getting hot, too. We've hit a few of these lately, so we'll do that when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
Thanks to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Peggy and Dion coming up next. Jeff Meller in for Peggy today. Real quick, I do want to squeeze in Carl's call. He's on the northwest side before we get to our parlay and our picks for the game as well. What's going on, Carl?
Hey, what's going on, guys? And just shout out to the Jayhawks, to the guy who took my call. Real quick, I wanted to...
hey, Rob Chalk, baby.
Yeah, the guy, Usher singing this song, singing halftime.
Yeah.
There's a prophet on what the first song is going to be, and you get to pick, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, and I don't know if you heard this before, but obviously Usher knows what he's singing first. What's stopping him from, like, calling his friends and family and his mom and dad and giving them a couple mil and flying them to Vegas and going to different sports books and going on all the websites and betting the max on the first song and cashing out with, like, 10 to 15 mil for, like, him and his 20 closest friends?
Well, here's the thing, Carl. Like, those bets are pretty limited in terms of what you can actually place.
Yeah, they're all offshore bets. You can't actually, like, bet them in the States, I don't think. It's usually, like, some sketchy foreign casino website that you have to place it, and they have, like, $30 limits.
$30. Oh, so
like,
bucks.
Sure, like you might win, but it's nothing that the casino would or the book would be very upset with losing.
It's the same thing with the anthem time. Like,
yeah,
Reba could just bet the over and stretch it out herself, but why? A, what's the point? She's got enough money, and B, like, it's hard to get a limit or an amount down that would actually be significant enough to do that.
I was curious because I thought maybe Justin Bieber would be driving all across the Canadian border betting 10 grand at like every place he can get his hands on just to get an extra another car or something.
Maybe.
Yep. All right, guys. All right. Hey, French kisses on you, boys. Let's go Niners.
Oh, Niners. All right. Thanks for the call, Carl. You know, I've been telling you how I've been thinking about flipping all week. I was like on the brink of hitting the button and going Niners.
Flip. Who cares?
No. And then I went to my barber, and I hear the guy in the other chair, he's all over the Niners. All over him. And I'm like, this guy does not look sharp. This guy's a
not a ball knower.
This guy's a casual.
Hey, casual. A lot of Chiefs people walking by out here, too. The signs are pointing a certain way.
Mm-hmm. So I am going to ride with the Chiefs, and it's not a I'm afraid to fade Mahomes. I've been riding with Mahomes all playoffs long. That's not a part of my calculus, I don't think. It is purely a bet on the Chiefs. Mahomes and the defense, the whole team. That's what I got. All right. You want to let's get to the game itself real quick. Our picks with the total and all that. So right now, the latest line, it has moved a little bit since we opened the show. It is now down to Chiefs plus 1.5.
Chiefs. I'm Chiefs.
I'm riding with the Chiefs, too.
I will never bet against Patrick Mahomes as a dog again. That is part of my calculus.
You're a coward.
Listen, Patrick Mahomes... Brock Purdy.
No, like that's true. That's fair. What do you have, Justin?
To win the game or my play?
To win the game.
I got Chiefs. I told you guys, yeah, I locked this in right away. Didn't want to be back and forth all week.
We locked this in the Uber.
We did, yeah. And I convinced our Uber driver, too, to take the Chiefs. When you hopped out, convince him to take the Chiefs and listen to the station more. Yeah, I'm one of those teammates.
Look at you. Did you get him to download the app?
No, I just told him. To
what's
put it
wrong
on.
With you?
I should have said that.
That's the only thing we're supposed to do.
He turned it on though. It was network.
He turned it on.
He turned it on. Yeah.
The other, I wonder if there works. Is there like a reverse tip where he can tip you because he plays the Chiefs and wins?
He can give me a 5-star passenger rating. Yeah, that's about it.
True. A lot of good that'll do you.
I'll drop my Venmo in there, maybe see if he is feeling generous.
Total 47.5.
Under.
I'm with you, under.
Tanking on this game. Yeah. I think this
under. Under.
I may alt under this at like 40.
Ooh.
I might get spicy with this one. I think this is a really low scoring
game. Yeah, I'm with you too. It's one of the lower totals too that we've had recently, I believe, in a Super Bowl as well.
I think like 17-10, 17-14, kind of a likely final score. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of scoring here.
21-17 is what I'm thinking right now.
I know the Niners offensively, like the stats say they're a bit of a freight train, but if you go look at some of the results, it's a lot of games where they were right around 21-24.
Interesting. All right, let's whip up this same game parlay really quick. What do you like? What's your leg that you're going with?
You're going to get really mad.
You're going to piss me off.
Yeah, both you are going to get pissed. Kansas City defense to score a touchdown plus 750.
Jeez. We need some juice.
Crazy with this thing.
Got to get the juice
somehow. Kansas City defense plus 750 anytime touchdown score.
At least I know I won't be the dead leg.
I hate doing this when we put a touchdown score in, but I am going to take the under 47.5. Potsy, what's your play?
I'm going to go Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. The dude's going to retire after this year. He might even propose to Taylor Swift. Patty Mahomes needs to feed him one last tutty.
All right. So you whip it all together. You get 55-1.
Now those are some odds, baby.
Let's win one.
When Legarius Sneed crosses the plane, boy, oh, we're all going to be feeling something special.
Yeah, the group text is going to be hopping.
When Trent McDuffie recovers a strip sack fumble in the end zone, boy, are we going to be going nuts.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. It's Travis Kelce anytime, Kansas City defense anytime touchdown, and an under 47.5. I've been waiting for, like, I've taken a couple anytime touchdown for defenses this year. It's a rush, man. You see a pick and you see some open field and you're yelling go, go, go. All right, that's going to do it for us. Peggy and Dion coming up next. Jeff Meller in for Peggy. That'll be all for us. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.